Today's reading is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Thanks, Julianne. Olive was an elderly woman living in North London. As part of a Church of England training placement, I used to visit her occasionally. Olive was into her second century before we even met. She was 101 years young when I first popped round, and she was totally on the ball about all the latest politics, gave me a mini gospel sermon on my first visit, I think because I told her I was Church of England, she wanted to check that I was properly sound. And I read her this psalm, or I started reading it rather. I only got as far as the first line when Olive herself started to say the psalm out loud from memory. She told me that she reads this one every single day. Olive's from a generation of believers where a daily personal experience of walking with the Lord, well, that was the normal Christian life. And to be honest, I worry sometimes that we've lost that personal devotional focus. You may not have, and it was great to hear the guys in the interview talking, but I think it's something we can corporately neglect for various reasons. Partly just because life's so busy, we feel we don't have the space in our day for what some people call a quiet time. It might be crowded out by other important things that we emphasise as a church. So we talk a lot here about knowing the right truths about God by studying his word in context, and about looking after the people of God in the church rightly. But I think it's just easy to neglect that the heart of the Christian life is actually a relationship with God. And this psalm has just made me wonder whether part of the issue in a generation that's been trained to be so independent is, do we realise just how much we need the Lord? Do we find it intuitive to do what the psalmist did last week, calling on him in our distress? In our current distress, we may have got better at calling out to neighbours and friends for help. But is he our first resource rather than a last resort? Well, today's traveller is looking up to the hills, verse 1, and it might be the hills of Jerusalem, just that they're a long way away. It could be that it's the hills themselves that are presenting the obstacle, but certainly this is not a merry mood of the hills are alive with the sound of music. Verse 1, help me is the mood here. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Now, that's a very familiar scripture, and to be honest, it was my first Bible go-to in this crisis when it started to unfold. But the context may be less familiar. A Song of Ascents, remember this collection of 15 psalms that we're going through. This is specifically about the help that God's pilgrims need on their journey up to the great city. If you were climbing toward Jerusalem, there would be lots that could be intimidating and frightening on the road. Destination, feeling very distant. And as we said last week, I think, again, it's relatively easy to make connections to our own story, our own journey. So surrounded by lying lips, the lies of the world that I'm drinking in all the time, might weary my faith away. That war of Psalm 120, the hostility to God's people, we'll see actually ramps up as the songs of ascent progress. Will I keep going under the strain of that negativity? Will I wander off the road before I get to the heavenly city? You could live to be 101 like Olive. That's just an awful lot of years of trying to be a truth-believing, lie-rejecting, sojourning, not settling kind of person. And that's before we mention the nasty shocks that just ambush us in a broken world. We all know about those now, and there'll be more to come. Will we get through all of it still on track? Now, that's quite a lot of things already, but especially when you combine all of the above with the challenge of the fickle heart that lives in here. Here's another bit of context for us. Psalm 119, verse 176, comes at the end of a mammoth psalm about longing for God and his word. Check this out. It's shockingly honest just before the Psalms of Ascent. It says right at the end of Psalm 119, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, don't get this wrong. Psalm 119 person really walks with the Lord and longs to be that person. So I've just highlighted here some of the other things you can see in that same paragraph. My lips will pour forth praise. My tongue will sing of your word. I long for your salvation. And yet at the same time, and after all of that, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. To be honest, I find that kind of reassuring because it reminds me not to despair totally when my own personal walk with the Lord is an experience of highs and lows, dry patches, and to be honest, whole seasons when talking to him at all is very difficult. We go astray on the journey, don't we? And that reminds me that at root, this, what you might call devotional life deficit in our generation, is not a generational issue. Ultimately, it's a human heart issue. Because from the very beginning of sin, our default has been that we wander away and hide from him. And of course, that means that sinful Kev will always find the desire to walk with the Lord to be a battle. And yet I long to walk with him, don't you? Because my experience is that it's always been so good for my soul when I do. When I'm thinking clearly, I know how much I need him, need his help. Help, Lord. While the theme tune of Psalm 121 is what a helper. That's our one big point for today. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That literally reads, my help comes straight from Yahweh. And I really love that way of putting it because it's so personal. It's not just a vague cry to whatever force or cause may be out there. No, we know him. We know his name. We know what he's like because we've seen what he's like in all he has said and done and promised. Psalm 121 is a classic example of what the Psalms do so brilliantly, bringing the big truths about God together with our circumstances, letting our perspective in this moment of need, whatever it is, be shaped by what we know of him. And there's one word that the singer keeps swirling around to describe the great helper. Did you spot it? The repetition tool always helps me. There is verse 3 and verse 4 and verse 5 and verse 7 and verse 8. He keeps you, your keeper. We use that language about someone looking after animals, the zoo keeper, and it does have that kind of sense of being watched over, a guardian, always tracking and tracing his protected species. A few years ago, I went as the speaker on a church ski trip. They said, come and speak. They didn't check whether I could actually ski, which I couldn't, had never been before. So I ended up spending most of the holiday on the nursery slopes, which literally were a nursery. All these little children, six-year-olds skiing in between your legs, you would suddenly see them. And their group was called the Yeti Club. It was all very cute, matching high-vis vests. They had a keeper watching over them. He was a bloke from New Zealand. And turned out, he reckoned, there was one of him and 18 of the small people. One of them looking like they were about to scoot right off the edge of a cliff, another one looking like they were about to be dragged up the hill on the ski lift. And I got chatting to their keeper in one of the queues. I said, how do you cope? How do you manage to look out for them all at the same time? His reply, he said, it's simple. If you lose one, you just pinch a kid from a different group. That was his approach, as far as he was concerned. He counted 18 out. Long as he counted 18 back in, it was job done. Well, thankfully, God is not that kind of keeper. Never any danger that he'll lose track of you because he's overstretched or forgotten your name because your badge has fallen off or nodded off on duty or ever lost sight of even one of his own. See, the thing that gives the keeper imagery of verses 3 to 8 its clout is who this keeper is in verse 2. Verse 2 again. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. See, your foot that might move in verse 3 is a foot that he made and sustains. He made the thing that your foot might slip on. Whatever it is. That sun that might strike you by day and the moon by night. Lots of superstition about harm that can come to you from the moon. Well, the big lights can't do anything that their maker doesn't allow. And verse 7, that all evil and that all harm that might come to you from all of the places that you might go out to or come in from in verse 8, at any time, well, he made the time. He made the places. He made the people who might do you the harm. And no bad guy or weather event or virus has a kind of independent existence separate from the Creator and the permissions given to them by the Creator of all. See, God's name may not be mentioned in Psalm 120's tense of Kedar or in great swathes of London, but that doesn't make any of the faraway places any less his sovereign domain. Verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, the language of this psalm is deliberately my. The yous are singular all the way throughout. And that means that you can insert your name and sing this song in that way if you're a person who trusts him. And remind yourself that you're going out. Do you fear going out as lockdown starts to ease? And you're coming in. Is it painful being in, isolated, alone? Well, from this time forth and forever, your help straight from Yahweh. It's beautiful, isn't it? But there's always a nagging doubt about a psalm like this. Isn't something in your head just wondering, did this psalmist live a particularly charmed life? The foot slipping of verse 3 and the sun burning of verse 6 are not actually that bad compared to the dying of COVID-19, which plenty of godly Christian people have, like Londoner Duval Thompson Davis. Did his keeper nod off on May the 4th when he died? I think the danger is that we could read this and think, it's a lovely thought, God my helper, but does his comprehensive insurance cover mean much in the real world? Well, let me say, this is clearly a psalm that lives in the tough realities. We can tell that from the previous psalm's distress. Please don't buy any gospel which tells you that the surrounding protection of the Lord insulates you from life's problems. Now, this is about successful arrival at the end of the journey, not pain-free travel. The security here is that nothing can stop God's kept ones from making it home. Your life, verse 7 there, literally your soul, and it's protected. And if that feels like saying, well, God really only kicks in as a benefit in the future, then I need to remember my history. Verse 4, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Does Yahweh of Israel have a track record of intervening in real life to make promises and to help and save? We rightly emphasize that home with the Lord is the future. And we'll focus on that next week, actually. Psalm 122 will give us a little taster of the heavenly city. But we mustn't start to believe that God only controls that bit. Yeah, the city is future, but he is now. We may feel far from home, but we are never far from him. And I just wonder, could it be that sometimes we're so good at emphasizing this life is tough, Psalm 120, no prosperity gospel here, and emphasizing that home is future, Psalm 122, it's not all about now. Could it be that we accidentally downplay Psalm 121? So we're not just to be grinning and bearing it and grimly waiting to get to the Lord. No, we're walking with him now, surrounded by him, knowing him, calling to him, guarded by him. These are not blessings that we have to wait for. And of course, we need to say that he can feel far away. There's plenty of that expressed in the Psalms. And walking with him partly means calling out to him with that particular complaint. We'll hear lots more in these Psalms about what it really means to walk through this life with him and how that can feel in the different ways. But bring your intimidating circumstances together with what you know about Yahweh. And ask yourself, where else will you go? Independence? Find the strength from within? Is that really a better option than the help? The very present help being offered here? Do you know, I was tempted to say at this point, don't focus on the hills, focus on the God who will get you there. But I don't think that's quite right, because the psalmist is focusing on the hills. It's difficult not to when there's a whole mountain range before you. So here is the exercise that I would ask us all please to do. And please would you find the time to do this on your own later? But we'll just do it in miniature together now, because this seems to be a psalm that you preach to yourself, you ask yourself the question, and then remind yourself of the answer. So here is the exercise. First of all, list some of those battles of your Christian journey. Maybe other anxieties that immediately come to mind. Current unknowns. Dwell on those things till you find yourself saying, "Help," which may not be very long at all. Ask yourself the question in verse 1. And then remind yourself the answer of verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And then call out personally to him. And let's be honest, I hope you'll feel able to with others. Maybe the conversation with him has dried up lately. Well, I want to encourage you back into the habit, or maybe for the very first time, into the habit of regularly asking for and meditating on the help of your maker, your keeper, who right now is by your side and surrounds. Far from home, yeah, we can feel that. Far from him, never. My help comes straight from Yahweh. Amen.